Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you for this October 30th, 2012 edition.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, the corporate mainstream media promotes the Frankenstorm while ignoring the new bombshell information about the stand down in Benghazi. Then, unmanned drones are set to share U.S. airspace with domestic air traffic. Plus, we air Dan Bondi's prediction of a northeast natural disaster that was told to him by FEMA back in August. And finally, the zombies have attacked, but InfoWars has the answer. All this and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story headline: drone set to share sky with domestic air traffic. This out of the BBC. Tests have been carried out to see whether military drones can mix safely in the air with passenger planes. The flight test took place off the coast of Florida in early August. Politicians have given the FAA until 2015 to prepare its air traffic systems for use of drones. So we see, if nothing else, it's unsafe right now, because we saw in Colorado how a passenger plane, a civilian plane, almost collided with a drone not that long ago. So it's a very serious situation, and you should be aware of drones. Whether you're for drones or you're against them, I personally am against them, but you know, you may think that they're a good idea, but that ties us into our next story. Drones give Angel Knight volunteers eyes in the sky. Now let's take a look at this. Harry Arnold organized a civilian patrol team that will be running surveillance of Detroit neighborhoods with their own radio-controlled camera ships. All right, so you can see right there in the video, she's talking about how basically a neighborhood watch team is using drones to patrol their neighborhood. And, you know, If the big guys, the big boys and girls have drones to watch us, then why can't we watch them? So the only thing I would say to this neighborhood watch group is just be careful. You're not spying and looking at anybody's windows or anything like that. But if you want a drone, then so be it. And speaking of drones, if you guys have been watching the news, you've seen the articles that I, myself and Melissa Melton have done talking about drones in video games. You guys may have saw the review I did of the video game Black Ops 2. And also Melissa Melton followed suit during the presidential debate. We had the statistics that 72% of Xbox users were in favor of drone strikes. So once again, you may be for drones, you may be against them, but our thought is that, hey, if they can use drones, why can't we? So we actually had a chance, me, myself, Melissa, we talked Rob Dew and even Alex into buying some drones. So if we can put that image back on the screen there, Marcos, we are going to buy the Black Ops 2 care package, which comes with a drone, as you can see right there. And we're going to have a drone fly. This was actually Alex's idea to have the, I guess you can call it a flash mob, but we're not really calling it that. So it's going to be sometime in November. We haven't set a date, after the smoke clears and you have a chance to play the game for 3 days straight. And I'm not knocking you if I didn't have to come to work. I'd probably play it 3 days straight myself. So after all that, we're going to have a meetup probably, well, definitely going to be here in Austin, probably in Zilker Park, and we're just going to fly drones. If you bought a drone from Black Ops 2 or you have your own little helicopter or whatever, you can come out there, and we're going to say, hey, if you can fly drones on us, we're going to fly drones on you. So stay tuned for those details. Next story. Obama accepts Osama bin Laden donations. Now, before we get into this article, the important thing about this isn't Osama bin Laden. That's second. Well, it's not even really an issue. WorldNet Daily, the staffers, donated to President Obama's campaign. Now, the thing about that is that they use a Pakistani IP address. And as you'll see in the article, presidents are not supposed to take foreign contributions to their campaign. Let's take a look at the article. Using a Pakistani internet protocol and proxy server, Osama bin Laden has successfully donated twice to Barack Obama's presidential reelection campaign. The bin Laden donations were actually made by WorldNet Daily staff. The acceptance of foreign contributions is strictly illegal under U.S. campaign finance law. In other words, as far as the campaign's website was concerned, the donation was openly identified electronically as coming from Pakistan. And actually, in the background of that article, you can see the actual form that they used to do their donation. You can see right there, Al-Qaeda is his employer, and he is a deceased terror chief. So, like, once again, the old Osama bin Laden thing is secondary. It's basically we caught Barack Obama's organization taking donations from, you know, foreign countries. So there you go, caught with your pants down. Once again, next story. Nuclear Regulatory Commission declares alert at Oyster Creek Nuclear Plant. Let's take a look at this. The United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission is continuing to monitor impacts from Hurricane Sandy on nuclear power plants. The plant, currently in a regularly scheduled outage, declared the alert at approximately 8:45 p.m. due to water exceeding certain high water level criteria. The plant's owner said backup diesel generators were providing stable power with more than 2 weeks of fuel on hand. So definitely a serious situation out there. And while we hope it doesn't come to, I hope they don't even have to use the 2 weeks of fuel. Hopefully the water will, you know, wash away and they can get back to things as usual. And, you know, how it usually goes when we report on real news, we're fear-mongering. But when you hear it from CNN, it's credible news. So, you know, whatever. But if you're in New Jersey, be aware that you could have some type of potential problem with your nuclear facility. So, yep. FYI. Next story. Media promotes Frankenstorm ignores Obama Benghazi bombshell. Now, we've been digging into the Frankenstorm so much, and it is a serious storm. People have died from it. There have been floodings, and even a good portion of Queens was burning. I saw that on the news earlier, but there are stories besides the Frankenstorm. You know, they want you to think that the only thing going on is that a crane was bent, you know, by the winds. I mean, that is some serious wind. And then you see the guys out there like, oh, we're out here unseen, and then it's this and that. And then you see kids running around in their underwear behind them. I saw that. I want to say it was on CNN last night. I can't say for sure, but you know, whatever. Let's look into this article. News broke the attack on Benghazi that led to the death of U.S. Ambassador to Libya Christopher Stevens and three of his staff members on September 11, 2012 were anything but random. Urgent requests for military backup were ignored. In addition, a Navy SEAL team stationed at the annex a mile from the attacks reported they were twice told to stand down. On September 4, 2012, Stevens sent a maximum alert to a multitude of Obama administration agencies, including Secretary of State Clinton, warning of a threat of an imminent attack. So we see this is not something where they were caught with their pants down. They had the warning from Stevens a week before. Was it a week before the 4th? So yeah, a week before, and they did nothing. The article goes on to say that Melissa Melton did, that they even removed certain security aspects to make these people more vulnerable. And that ties into another article we have. Is a general losing his job over Benghazi? On October 18th, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta said, today, I'm very pleased to announce that the President Obama will nominate General David Rodriguez to succeed General Carter Ham as commander of U.S. Africa Command. Now, for those who aren't hip, General Ham, he sent aid into, you know, the Benghazi situation. And, I mean, it never officially says that this is the reason why he was let go or, you know, replaced by David Rodriguez. Nothing against Rodriguez, but it basically says that, you know, reading between the lines, that they didn't like that the fact he tried to help. You know, they gave the stand down order. General Ham ignored it, and it seems like he's paying the price for protecting the people who really need to be protected, and even some of the troops they went in, even though they were told not to. So, you know, from what I understand, General Ham has an impeccable record, and he really didn't deserve this. So this is the Obama administration at their finest. Next story. Showdown looms over UN control of the internet. Now this is, it made me laugh because this is just the internet ID by another name. Let's take a look. When delegates gather in Dubai in December for an obscure UN agency meeting, fighting is expected to be intense over proposals to rewrite global telecom rules to effectively give the United Nations control over the internet. Russia, China, and other countries back to a move to place the internet under the authority of the International Telecommunications Union, a UN agency that sets technical standards for global phone calls. So we see they're already taking charge of your telephone calls. Now they want to take charge of your internet. And like I said, this is just the internet ID by another name. So guys, fight hard like you did against all these other SOPAs and CISPAs and all this other stuff. And people say, hey, what can I do? Just get the word out. Call your local radio stations, your TV stations, tell your newspapers about this, and just get it out in the news so hopefully we can fight this off as well. And our last story, Marines, police, prep for mock zombie invasion. This is a real article. This is not satire. This is a very real exercise. This is not some type of big costume party, said Brad Barker, president of Halo Corp, a security firm hosting the October 31st training demonstration. No doubt when a zombie apocalypse occurs, it's going to be a federal incident, so we're making it happen. I like what this guy says. He says when. He doesn't say if or possibly in some other dimension. He says when, no doubt, when a zombie apocalypse occurs. So I don't know what this guy knows that we don't know, but I mean, this is so ridiculous. They're doing this on the taxpayers' dime. Now, I've been out to San Diego Comic-Con, and they have zombie walks. And so when I first heard about this story, it wasn't a big deal to me. They say, hey, they're doing the zombie thing. I'm like, so they do zombie walks in San Diego all the time. It's part of the festivities. You can actually see the video there. But, you know, Rob Duhe, our producer, he's like, no. They have the Marines and Navy Special Ops and all these people involved. I'm like, why are they doing that? Because usually, like in the zombie walk you see there, they block out the street, and they may have a few traffic cops out there just to make sure everything's going okay. But this one is, like, supposed to be some actual, some war game where they're going to have a VIP, probably some president type, who's going to be attacked by zombies, and now the heroic police and military, nothing against police and military, have to rush in and kill all these unwashed masses of zombies. And it's completely ridiculous. It's happening on your dime. And I mean, like I said, this is one of those things where a city has been desensitized to things. People, like, I don't know if you know, for some of my viewers, San Diego Comic-Con is a big entertainment convention, and people, comic book types and movie types and, you know, zombie fans and all, people dress up in full costume and run around. Nothing against that. But, I mean, the city has been desensitized to the point where now they're actually going to not just have a costume party. Well, it's not going to be a costume party, according to Mr. Barker. They're going to have some type of war game downtown San Diego, wherever it's going to be, to, you know, set you up for martial law. So, and I'm not saying San Diego Comic-Con is evil and they're in on it. I'm just saying that, you know, the people like the Halo Corp and whoever else have, you know, jumped on the tail end and say, well, if they're desensitized to zombies walking down the street, let's just go out there and have a war game. So there you go, zombies. And that actually ties quite well into our quote of the day. This from Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead. Don't you get it? We are The Walking Dead. We are The Walking Dead. That from Robert Kirkman, the creator of the TV show Walking Dead, and also that is a comic book. Now, we've been talking a lot about zombies. If you guys have been watching, you've seen, like, the little zombie pieces we've done. People said, you're out promoting Halloween. No, we're out promoting the new InfoWars magazine that you can get right now. The new issue, this says The Secret Life of Zombies right there. And you can see it on your screen as well. Got some great information, another great magazine from our magazine crew. So definitely be sure to check that out. And also check out PrisonPlanet.tv. It supports our broadcasts. If you are watching this on YouTube, we definitely appreciate your support. But if you really want to support us, check out PrisonPlanet.tv. Get yourself an account. It helps our broadcast, and you can share that with up to 5 other people. So definitely be aware of that. All right, after the break, we'll be back with an interview with Dan Bedondi, a reporter on the street. He's up in New England right now, spending some time with his family. He's going to break down what's really going on up there. Was the hurricane really as bad as they said it was going to be? So we'll all find out about that after this break.
Alex Jones here reporting on a virtual army of out-of-control, zombified, yuppie sheeple marching around everywhere chanting mainstream media slogans. We're here reporting on this epidemic that is spreading and the mass murder of psyche and critical thinking.
All right.
Anywhere. Help us.
Okay.
A worldwide phenomenon of trendies becoming more and more mindless and being in zombie-like trance states, worshiping mainstream media, American Idol, and Justin Bieber. Is there any way to awaken them? Is there any cure to this virtual madness, the mass murder of the mind and critical thinking?
Second Amendment bad.
You poor zombie here. You need this.
Is there any hope? Tune in next time. Can we cure the zombies?
The presentation you have just witnessed is a test. Are you conscious? Are you aware that you are being manipulated? Or have you descended into a dreamlike zombie state that much of the public is suffering from? In the power-packed November issue of InfoWars magazine, we detail, with the scientific facts in four separate articles, the proof that the public is being brainwashed. Our brainwaves are lowering, our IQs are dropping, and we are being turned into nothing more than biological androids. You can buy copies of InfoWars magazine at cost in bundles of 10 up to 100 and give them to your friends and family. It's time to shake humanity out of the trance that they're in. And the November issue of InfoWars magazine is designed to do just that. Sign up for a subscription or secure copies at cost in bulk today at InfoWarsStore.com.
While we fight to retain our liberty, while we fight to expose globalism, we have to realize we're talking about a very powerful combination of power.
Renowned author and expert Joel Skousen breaks down the globalist plan to shut down America and stage a new world war.
In one day, America will go from day to night. And if you haven't prepared in advance, there's not enough time to prepare in 24 hours, even if you saw it that early.
Coming to the InfoWar in November is our new documentary film presentation.
Strategic relocation is a systematic way to think strategically in the future about how do I safeguard.
Joel Skousen, Strategic Relocation.
The freeways are going to be crowded, they're going to run out of gasoline, they're going to run out of food, and then they're going to start to go north and south of those freeways.
Joel Skousen is renowned as one of the world's foremost experts in strategic relocation and the securing of your home.
We talk about natural disasters, the health environment, we talk about pollution, the water quality. My personal experience about being in every one of these states.
Government is digging in for the organized, incremental collapse of society and world war.
The U.S. isn't building huge underground bases and bunkers because of some terrorist threat. They know that a massive nuclear attack is coming. They want that attack to come. Most people won't even be ready and won't be able to get out of town when any of these nuclear weapons fall, because there'll be absolute panic.
There is no preparedness without strategy.
What I tell people is that you do have time. Prepare wisely in advance.
This Christmas, give the gift of preparedness. Strategic Relocation, the film, with Joel Skousen and Alex Jones.
And welcome back. We're joined now by our reporter in the field, Dan Bedondi. He traveled up north to New England to see his family over the past weekend, and lo and behold, there happened to be a hurricane. So he's out in the field, and unlike those other networks where they send a reporter out with an umbrella in the middle of a storm, and they're like, oh, we're out of reporting live, he's safe at home with his family and his child, and they're doing quite well, and he's going to break down what's going on and also some information he got from a FEMA source. So he joins us now, Dan Bedondi. So how are you doing, Dan?
Not bad. How are you doing, Jakari?
It's real good. So tell us about what's going on up there.
All right. So far, the weather's cleared up a little. I'm looking out the window right now. It's cloudy, but a little bit of sun so far. And we don't know if it's going to come back, swing back toward Rhode Island. We don't know that yet. But we did suffer a lot of damage. I had the stats, actually. I read something yesterday about the updated ones on the power outages. It was 1,051 outages that affected over 113,000 customers here in Rhode Island without power. And that's 113,000 homes and businesses and everything. And so far it's like looking okay. I mean, we've got down poles and so on. But everything else, I mean, like, it's looking so far good.
So how's it in your area? Did you have any power outages or any down trees or anything like that?
A lot of down trees. We had some down poles, and we're lucky we didn't lose power. The power blinked a few times last night, and we're still having trouble. We don't have full internet and everything. The phone has trouble once in a while, and they're working on the lines and everything. But so far over here, everything's good.
Good. Glad to see that you're safe. Now, we previewed a little bit on the radio. Alex said you had some information about a FEMA camp or a FEMA representative that you met.
Oh, yes. I can't name who he is, but sure. When I traveled to Austin last July, I thought it was August, but I checked. It was last July when we all went down there after the reporter contest. I got held over in BWI, that's Baltimore Washington International Airport in Washington, and I was listening to this guy talking on his phone. He said, talking about Jan Napolitano and all these bigwigs and FEMA and Homeland Security. Long story short, he was talking to his brother, and I kind of said, excuse me, sir, I wasn't like eavesdropping on your call or anything, but I heard you say Jen Napolitano. He goes, oh, yeah, I work for Homeland Security and FEMA and all that. And so I'm playing this guy out to see where he stands. And I'm like, you aware of HR 645? Because everybody I meet that's part of FEMA and such, I kind of try to educate them what their organization's really about. So basically, you see my shirt, InfoWars, and he was like, he goes, I'm a big Alex Jones fan, by the way. And I'm like, really? He's like, well, I'm one of his new reporters. So it broke the ice right there. So he goes, all right, since we're on the same page, I'm going to tell you everything. He's looking around. I'm here with another person, but he goes, no, what the hell? What? He goes, I'm going to tell you everything, what's going on. He goes, I got called here this morning to get on a plane right away and to arrive in Washington, D.C., because there is a disaster drills coming. There's something big down the pipe, he was saying. And he goes, we got called here. I'm going back home now. And he goes, we got called here in Washington for emergency meeting. That was Jen Napolitano and all these other bigwigs in Homeland Security and FEMA and all that. He says, I'm a ground transportator coordinator. And he's also, I won't say where else he works because they can put the connections together, but he's a transportation coordinator for FEMA as well. And he was told, I know it said the info war bomb, the money bomb I said was 10,000. No, it's 20,000 Metro City buses that hold up to 60, 65 people in regulation. But they said they could jam at least 100 people in there if they had to. Right. And his job was to organize over 20,000 of these buses for the evacuation of the East Coast. And he was saying, we don't know what's going to happen, because he goes, again, they don't tell me everything, but he goes, I've been with Homeland Security for 17 years or whatever it was, and he says, I'm still with Homeland Security because I was going to quit a few times, but people said inside of people are more important. You have to relay this information, so that's why he stood with Homeland Security, and he's a big fan of Alex Jones as well, and he was telling me all this information, showing me documents. He was supposed to email me some, and I tried all three of his numbers. I can't get a hold of this guy. I hope to God that this guy didn't get caught or anything, because he was there with other FEMA officials as well, and he was showing me documents on the internment camps as well. He told me this was exactly what he told me. He goes, they're going to be stayed. They're going to have military exercises up in your area, up in New England, and they're going to be on natural disasters and communications loss, power outages, and so on. He goes, within the next couple of weeks. He goes, that's what I got told. He showed me in the manual. And I told him about an internment camp up in Massachusetts and, Fort Devens FMC. And he actually flipped to the pages and showed me the exact camp I was talking about and pointed out two other ones in the area as well. And basically he was telling me down the line this was going to happen. He goes, when you go back home, because I told him, the whole situation. I was going to Austin for about a few days and going home. But he was telling me when you go back home, expect these drills to happen. There's going to be coordinated with FEMA and the National Guard. And sure enough, when I got home, the mainstream media, now they only acknowledged us that day. They said, and they acknowledged that was one site that they were training from. There was three. And the only reason I knew about the other two sites, because I got friends all over the state, and they told me, hey, in the rural areas, you know, this place called the Ladd Center. That's way out in the middle of nowhere near the Veteran Cemetery. And they told me, hey, there's all kinds of military vehicles, tents and everything going on over there, you know, being set up. And I went down there and I got it on YouTube as well, on my Bionic Dan B channel. And they, you know, I confronted the FEMA people and they basically kicked me out because I wasn't supposed to know about that drill there.
Right.
You know, and the mainstream media, they only covered one of them, you know, the one at the ocean, and they didn't tell the public about the other two that were taking place in the state, and that was just three of many all throughout New England.
Now, and Dan, if I could stop you right there, just so our viewers know that you're not blowing smoke, you did talk about this on the Money Bomb. It's something that is timestamped, so let's go ahead and throw it to that Money Bomb video now.
When I was flying down here from Rhode Island, I stopped in BWI Airport for a layover, and my flight was delayed. So I'm sitting there, and one of the guys was talking, you know, some guy was talking next to me on his phone. I heard him mention Jen Napolitano, blah, 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 Homeland Security, and he worked for it. So I'm like, all right, let me ask this guy some questions. So he gets off the phone. I'm like, hi, how you doing? It's like, I couldn't help you overhearing you talk about Jim Napolitano and all that. He goes, yeah, I work for FEMA. I'm a grounds transportation coordinator for FEMA and Homeland Security. And he's in it, and I'm trying to test this guy out, see where he is. You know, if he, well, long story short, he learned that I was going to be a reporter for Alex Jones, whatever. And he's on the same page. He says he's been listening to Alex for God knows how long. And he's been working with FEMA and Homeland Security for about 15 years. And he wants to stay on the inside. But he told me right out, he goes, since we're on the same page here, he goes, there's going to be martial law coming soon. He told me this. He goes, the reason why I'm here in Washington, D.C., BWI, Baltimore, Washington International Floor, they called an emergency meeting. They called an emergency meeting for us to be here. He goes, now they don't tell me everything because I'm just a ground transportation coordinator. So what he did was he opened his briefcase. Now, before he gets to that, he was explaining to me, they are going to pull the plug for martial law. They called a meeting this morning. We had to be in Washington ASAP. And so when he basically he was telling me the stuff, then he opens his briefcase and shows me documents. And he says, for secret eyes, all that good stuff. And he said, we got called because my job is to organize 10,000 Metro City buses, 10,000 that hold 65 people each, and that's regulations. You could fit about 100 people, jam packed, and he said. But he said 20,000 Metro buses. That's a lot, folks. And for the entire East Coast, he goes, they have drills. They're going to evacuate the entire East Coast. And he goes, you're from Rhode Island. I'm like, yes. He goes, expect to have disaster drills in your area within the next couple of weeks. And sure enough, folks, sure enough, when I went back to Rhode Island, it hit the mainstream media, you know, the day it was happening. Oh, they're doing disaster drills, communications, earthquake. And right here, the article, earthquake disaster drills, mass FEMA's martial law agenda. It's right there, folks. And I was told about this weeks in advance. He told me there's going to be disaster drills for earthquakes and communications and all that in New England. And sure enough, folks, several cities in, around Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and all that, FEMA and the National Guards were conducting exercises. Well, disaster drills for earthquakes. And you ask, well, why would they do a disaster drill for earthquakes in New England? Because it's unheard of New England getting earthquakes. And sure enough, that was 2 nights ago, Maine got hit with a 4.9, I believe, earthquake. And the thing is, this guy told me from Homeland Security, he told me, okay, this stuff was coming. And it did. And we've been talking about the October surprise, November, nobody knows what it is. I mean, it could be the whole presidential thing. It could be martial law. We don't know. But the thing is, I'm not trying to scare you, folks. But this guy showed me, he laid out everything.
All right, Dan, so we saw right there the Money Bomb video where you talked about this stuff beforehand. This isn't just, you know, wild prediction that you made. You talked about this beforehand. It's come true. So now continue your story and tell us about, you know, what you were talking about in the Money Bomb.
And also, for more verification, when I hosted my own show in Rhode Island, too, I also stated this back in July and August as well. And I've been on several radio talk shows across the country. And at the end of July and August, when I found this information out, I made it viral, big time. And I could, I mean, tons of people could verify, radio talk shows and everything, could verify I gave this information out. And people, it's not my prediction. This is what I heard from Homeland Security. I'm not no psychic. This is what I heard from a Homeland Security FEMA official. And, you know, he told us that this was going to happen. I got home, the drills happened just like he said. And, you know, they don't advertise right out in the mainstream media what drills are about. You know, especially in advance. They tell you that day, it's a little bit of news. Homeland Security is conducting a drill. But anyway, on to Santa Claus coming to the mall, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, anyway, everything came true. He said it was going to be a natural disaster. He told me this. There will be a natural disaster to hit the East Coast. He goes, I don't know when, what it is or when it's going to come. But he goes, be sure it's going to be coming soon. And he said, then he brought up HAARP. And he goes, you're familiar with HAARP, right? I'm like, oh, yes, of course. Weather modification. And he goes, well, they're going to use that. And, you know, people out there who don't believe in this stuff, you could Google it. China, Japan, Germany, even the United States openly brag about them. I mean, it hit mainstream media on several occasions about how governments can manipulate the weather. And, you know, people think, oh, you're talking crazy, weather modification, FEMA camps, blah, blah, blah. And he told me this, too. He goes, they're going to round people up. They're going to mandatory evacuation in some areas. And they're going to bring them to internment camps. And he goes, this could be the guys for martial law. He's not sure because he says, again, they don't tell me everything.
Right.
But again, folks, if you don't believe in FEMA camps, I mean, there's so much evidence out there. I mean, if you take HR 645, for example, that was the Emergency Centers Establishment Act, and it was to establish six or ten emergency centers in the United States at the time. Now there's over 1,000, as we know, and it was on record not too long ago, I think it was months ago, that Halliburton got a contract by Homeland Security to build internment camps. Now this is on record. And we also got Army Regulations 210-35. That's a civilian inmate labor program. And as you're going to see on the screen in a second, the Civilian Inmate Labor Program is basically saying, yes, we're going to house American citizens. They mention POWs, yes. But they also specify American citizens in this document and putting them into forced labor camps. And if you think this is a joke, folks, I mean, let's take a look back in history here. President Roosevelt, on February 19th of 1942, Roosevelt's executive order was number 9066. It was the War War Relocation Act, Executive Order 9066, that established 10 internment camps across the country, and they housed more than 110,000 Japanese-American citizens. Legal citizens, just because they were Japanese, they rounded them up. They took their property, their vehicles, their bank assets, everything they had, gone. And when they were released, they were given $25 a piece, and their homes were in return, their vehicles were in return, they didn't have their jobs back. Basically, they got thrown out in the street with $25, here you go. And it took all the way to Ronald Reagan to apologize to the Japanese citizens for this. And now we're going to look on, we did an article recently about this. It was FM, that's Army Field Manual, 3-39.40. That's re-education for internment camps here in America. And we do have an article on InfoWars about this, and it specifies to put Americans into these re-education camps, you know, to re-educate you. And, you know, if you're a dissident, I mean, we'll bring up the John Warner National Defense Act that annulled Posse Comitatus to put, that was, the paving ground for the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act comes in. Now the NDA 2012 is just the Patriot Act on steroids.
Right.
Then they establish HR 647, which is a trespass bill. I know there's a lot of documents, folks, but you can research all this. Play it back when you watch the replay and write all the stuff down, folks. A lot of information. HR 647 was the no trespass bill. Any politician that has Secret Service, if you protest any which way, even with a sign, you could be held in jail with no phone calls, no nothing.
Rock solid information, Dan Bedondi. Now, speaking about your source, did he tell you anything that hasn't come true yet? Anything that's, you know, left a chance?
Well, he said there would be martial law and evacuation. Now, he didn't specify how much and how long, but in New Jersey, Okay, New Jersey and New York, pots haven't been evacuated, and pots have been declared martial law. So there's some truth to this extent, but we don't know if this is over. We don't know if this is the big tomorrow that he was talking about. You know what I mean? And it shows you that everything up to now is 100% true of what he spoke to me about.
Right. All right. Rock solid information as always. Dan Madani, good to see you. Any last thoughts, any closing arguments?
Yeah, more information for you folks. Google, GoArmy.com is advertising for internment specialists. And anybody wants to research Rex 84, that was the Oliver North scandal and everything else going on, basically a new continuity of government. Folks, we are under attack. Our freedoms are under attack. And we need to make people aware of this because this stuff is real. I seen the camps with my own eyes, folks. This is not a joke. And again, I challenge you to research any of this.
All right. Thanks, Dan. You stay safe. Enjoy the time with your family. I know this isn't the best circumstance, but, you get to spend time with your family nonetheless.
Thank you, Jakari. God bless you, man.
All right, man. You stay safe.
Thanks.
All right. And there he goes, Dan Vedandi, safe and sound at home. And hopefully the worst is over. Some good information from Dan. I definitely encourage everybody to check out those articles. Those are all real articles. Hard-hitting information. So actually, we'll be back after this break with another Dan Vedandi piece. He had a chance to interview Bill Schnoblin. They talk about the origins of Halloween, all types of paranormal activity. You guys never talk about the Illuminati and the occult. They break this thing all the way down. This is something that Dan shot last week. I was actually there when they were talking about. They're talking about witches flying on broomsticks and all kinds of stuff. So definitely get ready for that. And don't forget, new InfoWars magazine. You guys have seen the new advertisements we did with Alex and crew where we went out. Well, they went out and they did a bunch of zombie footage, and it talks about the secret lives of zombies and, not about zombies, but, the kind of zombies that are brainwashed by TV and other types of things. So definitely get this out.
Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. We've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The K-Tor hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, 3rd edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. TheraSafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com.
Hi, this is Dan Vedandi reporting a special segment of the InfoWars Nightly News on our October 30th, 2012 edition of the Nightly News and our special Halloween report. And have you ever wondered the history of Halloween, where it came from, where bobbing of apples came from, bonfires, jack-o'-lanterns and such? Well, today we're going to talk to, back by popular demand, Mr. William Schnoblin, which I had on InfoWars Money Bomb a couple weeks ago. And before we get to the segment, folks, I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and purchase Bloodlines of the Illuminati. It's by Fritz Springmeier, great book, 500-something pages packed full of information about the Illuminati bloodlines.
And with the order, every order you get on InfoWarsStore.com, you get a copy of the Citizen's Handbook and a couple of cool stickers for your car, you know, to display your patriotism. And again, Bill Schnoblin, he's a former Illuminati, former 90th degree Freemason, former Satanic High Priest, former Mormon, former Catholic priest. He's been there, done it all, and now he's on the good side. And without further ado, back by popular demand, how you doing, Bill?
It's great to be here. Absolutely.
Awesome. It's a pleasure to have you back. And now Halloween, a lot of people, you know, in public, they go out and celebrate, dress the kids and go, you know, ghouls and goblins and all this stuff, but not knowing where's Halloween really come from. What's the origins of it? What is a cult connection with this? And a lot of people are misinformed what Halloween really is. And I think if they knew exactly what Halloween was, they wouldn't be celebrating the satanic holiday.
Well, yes, that's very true. And you go all the way back really to the dawn of history, and you'll find that in the cultures around Bible lands and the cultures of pagan Europe, the pagan British Isles, this night was considered part of a pageant of festivals that were, you know, of course, pagan in origin. They were satanic in origin. They were basically, you know, ways of celebrating the change of seasons. And of course, in the Northern Hemisphere, this is when the nights started getting longer and the weather started getting colder. And it was believed that on this night, or Halloween night, that the god of the dead was going to die and then be reborn later. And, of course, he was reborn on the next feast, which would have been Yule, which is December 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there. And so this time that he was dying was a time of great fear in these people, and so the way they dealt with that is by human sacrifice. They felt that if they could shed enough blood, especially the blood of children, that they could somehow let this passing of their god be a propitious one. You know, and of course, this is all really evil, but we see it even in the Bible, the idea of Molech, the idea of Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, all these different cultures all celebrated this festival by child sacrifice, by throwing babies into a flaming idol or something equally awful. And this is the origins of Halloween. And the problem is that even to this day, it is still a high satanic holiday. It's still a high witch holiday. And that means if you're celebrating it, you're celebrating, you know, basically what some Satanists believe is the devil's birthday. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to do anything to celebrate about the devil.
Exactly. And the real name, I think, was called Samhain. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, in the Celtic British Isles, yeah, Samhain. It's spelled Samhain, but we say it as Samhain. And yeah, that's the ancient ancestor. And of course, excuse me, at some time, you know, in the early Christian era, the Catholic Church decided to try and sort of baptize Halloween and and Samhain, and they called it All Hallows Eve. They associated it with All Saints Day and All Souls Day, which is November 1st on the liturgical calendar.
And this is their way of putting a so-called Christian stamp on something that's evil.
Yes, yes. And of course, I don't think you can really do that. You can't take something that's evil and like slap some paint on and all of a sudden it's good. You know, and the trouble is that in many cultures, I mean, this is kind of a universal thing. Like many, many people might know that in Latino countries, they have the Day of the Dead on this day when people, you know, run around dressed up as skeletons and all of that. And it's very similar to Halloween. They just call it by a different name. And see, I don't think that we should be celebrating death. I think we should be celebrating life.
Exactly.
So, you know, that basically is some of the history. And see, the thing is, Jeremiah the prophet says in Jeremiah 10:1-3 that we are not to learn the ways of the heathen. We are not to follow the paths of the Gentiles, but rather we're to follow what's in the Bible. And the Bible has the feasts of Yahuwah, the sacred feasts of him that are what we should be doing instead of Christmas and Easter bunnies and Halloween. You know, those are just all pagan holidays that are really abominable in the sight of the Almighty.
And if I'm not correct, during the beginnings of our country, did our ancestors take part in these holidays?
No, really they did not. Halloween was actually illegal in the days of the Puritans. It was really illegal all through the 18th and a lot of the 19th century in America. And it was only when the influx of Irish immigrants started in the 19th century, some of my ancestors came over here and they brought Halloween with them. And you know how in our country we see that things gradually have gotten more and more, you know, lax or whatever word you want to use, and so people began to celebrate. And of course now it's become a huge marketing thing. I mean, they're trying to make it as big as Christmas. And but the trouble is, again, it's evil. And I would just like to share briefly why I'm so passionate about this. I had a personal experience with Halloween when I was 10 years old, and I was out trick-or-treating. And this was, you know, way back before there was anything really sinister about it. You know, I think I was dressed as a little clown or something going door to door getting candy. And I actually was walking down the street. It was Halloween night, beautiful October evening in the Midwest. And I looked up. And as I looked up, I saw the sky was just full of demons. And just black, leathery things with red eyes. And their eyes just stared into me. And I could feel something unclean hit my soul at that moment. And I believe at that moment my soul was defiled by the demonic spirits that surround Halloween. And, you know, after that, I can look at my life, even as a young child, that I gradually began to be interested in the occult and, you know, various weird things. And by the time, of course, I was in college, I'd become a witch. So I think that the danger to children, especially because children are more vulnerable, but even to adults, it's a dangerous time, and we really encourage parents to pray over their children during this season, to not let their children run around alone, and to not let them go trick-or-treat, you know, but rather have some kind of fun that you can do as a family.
Exactly. Now, little in the history here of Halloween. Now, where does the bonfire come from? I know it was represented as the bonfire. You want to describe that a little bit?
Well, again, in the British Isles and in probably Northern Europe as well, there was this custom of lighting. They were originally called Baal fires, and it related to Baal, who's, of course, a false god. We see Baal even in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And they would use these as a way of trying to keep the sun god from dying, like we were talking earlier about blood sacrifice. And you're right, later on they became known as bonfires, and then over the years got cleaned up to bonfires because, you know, they would throw animals into it. They might even throw babies into it in some cultures. It was not a good thing. And, you know, because again, this is all about sympathetic magic, about sending forth the lives of innocent beings so that this god, this supposed god, who of course is ultimately really Satan, can live.
And also, trick or treat, do you want to describe the origins of that, what that really means?
Well, of course, it's not obviously been cleaned up today, but back in the ancient times, the idea was is that these satanic priests would go into a village, and they would say, they'd go up to a house at random in that village, and they would, you know, put a mark on the door and say, you have to give us your youngest child, or we'll destroy your house. And then we're going to take that child and sacrifice it to the dark god Saman, who's the god of Samhain, the god of death. And of course, if the parents refused, then they would destroy the household. They'd burn the house to the ground. And today, of course, it's more benign, and then the kids go and say, give us candy, or we'll soap your windows or teepee your trees or something like that. But, you know, it's not a good thing. And again, you're playing around with diabolical things, and you're playing around with things that are rooted in human sacrifice, animal sacrifice, and child sacrifice.
And the pumpkins now. I know that it wasn't originally pumpkins, it was yams, you said, but you want to explain the jack-o'-lantern, how they basically took human flesh as wax and filled it?
Yeah, they actually would take, you know, some of the remains of these poor unfortunate children, and they would make candles out of them, and they'd put these inside of either skulls or inside of large gourds or something of that nature. And they would believe that if they pointed this grinning face outward, it would be a sign to the demons to leave this house alone. So it was kind of like a talisman to ward off evil. But of course, the problem is again, you know, there's this very ancient, if you will, cult about the severed head, which is present all over the Northern Europe, all over the British Isles, and how it somehow relates to, well, in the British Isles, it relates to Bran the Blessed, he's called, but in other countries, it relates to other various beings, gods, demons, whatever. And it's all very evil. It's, you know, I mean, would you want to have a thing burning on your doorstep that was made out of, you know, human baby fat or something of that nature?
And the people do this all the time. And how many pumpkins are sold just in the United States alone? Millions. And also, when they gave them the pumpkin, is that when they, just like you went to a household, they offered the sacrifice, is that when they put the pumpkin at your door?
Yeah, well, that was a sign that that house was okay then, that it had been, they'd offered up their tithe to hell, so to speak, in the form of their firstborn child. Or their youngest child, I'm sorry. And so that's kind of, you know, the meaning of that. And now, of course, we just see it as a sign of you know, of, oh, this house is going along with the Halloween thing. You know, it actually has a much more sinister origin. And see, what people need to understand is that these symbols have a power all their own. I mean, you might say, well, it's just a pumpkin, for heaven's sakes. Well, yeah, it is just a pumpkin. But you see, in magic, in black magic, in the occult, there's this idea of thought forms and egregores. That's the word that's used from Greek. And it means basically something that gets power all of its own over the centuries, over thousands and thousands of years of use. And it kind of, demons and strong men come to inhabit it. So even if the person might put this pumpkin out and carve a face on it and whatnot and put a candle in it and think, oh, I'm just kind of being cute like the neighborhood is, you know, it still might very well draw demonic spirits. So that's why we should not, again, as it says in Jeremiah, learn the ways of the Gentiles.
Exactly.
Yes.
And also bobbing for apples. I mean, a lot of people think it's just a bucket full of water, you know, just a bunch of apples. But you want to explain the horrific origins, where this comes from?
Well, the idea of it was is that originally they would actually take, you know, some of the leftover remains of the skulls of these children and use them as something to pull out of the water as kind of a macabre game. And, you know, so, you know, again, there's some sort of meaning behind this, which we do not understand. And this is true of a lot of things. Another thing that comes to mind is the whole thing of witches on a broomstick. You see, that actually goes back to the fact that in the Middle Ages, witches would literally take, see, the symbol of a high priestess's authority was her broomstick, which is called a besom. And she would, on certain nights of the year, when they were like planting crops or whatever, they would go out and they would jump around the field after they planted the crop on these broomsticks. And they believed that the high as they jumped, that's how high the crops were. So again, we're talking about sympathetic magic, what's called folk magic. And it was believed that as they did this, that it would make the ground more fertile and whatnot. And of course, some people that weren't witches were probably spying to see, ooh, what are these witches doing? And they saw them, you know, jumping around this field, and oh, they're going to take off and they're going to fly. You know, just like, you know, some birds take a while to get off the ground. Well, there's another side to that too, and that is that witches would use what was called flying ointment on nights like Halloween. They would take this ointment, which is made out of various hallucinogenic drugs. They'd rub it on their bodies, all over their bodies. And the ointment was supposedly to protect them from evil, but what would happen instead is that it would give them a trip, so to speak, like we would take acid nowadays. Well, these were like primitive hallucinogens, like belladonna, like aconite, and some other herbs that are hallucinogenic, but they're also poisonous. And so once again, we have this association of pharmakeia, of using drugs, and the occult and witchcraft all over again. And that's why to have a cute little witch hanging from your porch or whatever, again, you're emulating things that are of the evil one.
And also, most people think Halloween is just one day. You want to describe how it's actually 3 days? I think it's the 29th, 30th, and 31st?
Well, it's what in the occult it's called an orb. And it does. You're right. It does start up like on the day or so before it, and then it goes one day after it. And that's why, like, again, you see in the Roman Church, you have November 1st, which is, of course, the day after Halloween is called All Saints Day, and November 2nd is called All Souls Day in their calendar. And that's because they're just trying to kind of piggyback on this ancient pagan feast that had already been around for probably thousands of years. So, yeah, it actually starts a couple days earlier.
And also, finally, you want to give a message to all Christians, especially pastors out there. Now, I've been to a lot of churches, and they say, oh, come to Halloween, we're going to have a party, come dress as an angel or a biblical character. And you want to give a good, strong message to these pastors, and also anybody that's a Christian at that, about not celebrating this thing at all. Take no part in this.
Yeah, I would really strongly recommend that. I mean, you can do something on another night, but you don't want to really honor this night, because it is the night when darkness, if I were a pastor, I would have people pray and fast on that night. Because believe me, the witches and the Satanists are praying and fasting before that to prepare to create all this cone of power, all this energy that's supposed to be raised on that night, because they believe that this is the night that the doorways are open between the realms of the dead and the realms of the living, and that spirits walk the earth. And so, you know, you don't want that kind of energy going around in your community. And so if believers would take the time to pray and fast in and around Halloween for their children, for the protection of the children and the families and the churches and the community, that would be a much better way to use the time than to have a party where little kids get to dress up like angels. Absolutely.
And when you, you explain how they're fasting and praying, you know, the Satanists, is that with the origins of Hell Night? Because I believe Hell Night's the night before, is that correct?
Yeah, I think in some cities they even have really bizarre things that are done on the night before, and it's called Hell Night. But, you know, the point is, whatever the culture is, there's still these people that are very, very dedicated. They're like dark saints, if you will. And they will fast and pray to their gods for the destruction of the innocence of the youth, for the destruction of the morality of our young people. And we need to be just as diligent in getting on our knees and praying and fasting that our young people would stay pure, that our young people would not be defiled by the occult, and all these things. Big, big challenge for us, and we need to rise to the challenge.
All right, great. And I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. I know you wanted to talk about Mitt Romney during our interview during the Money Bomb, but due to overwhelming phone calls, we had to take the calls and all that. But now, you want to describe what you were going to tell me about Mitt Romney, is you do with the Mormonism and everything. And you, by all people, you used to be an ex-Mormon. So if you want to give a little description of what's going on with Mitt Romney.
Well, the problem is, and I mean, I realize that either with Obama or with Mitt Romney, it's like, which devil do you choose? And the problem with Mitt Romney is he is a high priest in the Mormon Church. He comes from a very old Mormon family, I think five generations of Mormons. And, you know, he's very much connected. He's been to the temple. He's gone through secret Luciferian ceremonies, and he's sworn blood oaths that in his mind would be more important than any oath he might take as President of the United States to defend the Constitution. And to see, the Mormon Church has a weird eschatology, a weird view of the end times. They believe that one day, they call it one mighty and strong, quote unquote, will rise and will save the Constitution of the United States. And among Mormons for many years, back when I was a Mormon, which was in the early 80s, they were talking about this, that one day we will have a Mormon become president. This is what they were shooting for, even way back in the 70s and 80s. And when that happens, then we will make him the prophet. And he will become a benevolent dictator over America. And the Constitution will be done away with, and we'll bring in what's called the United Order. And if you look that up, you know, on Google or whatever, as what the Mormon Church teaches, the United Order is a communist society where everybody owns everything in common, kind of like a commune or a kibbutz, except on a national level. And this ain't good, because it means that the Mormon Church would basically be running the country. And people say, oh, well, that's just science fiction. Well, not entirely. This is what they believe. And, of course, a lot of what Mormons believe sounds like science fiction. They believe they can become gods. I mean, Mitt Romney thinks that he one day will become a god, and his wife will be a goddess, and they will reign over many planets and have many, many spirit babies, millions of spirit babies. This is Mormon doctrine. I used to believe this stuff. And the problem is there's a dark side to Mormonism. Because if you actually go through the temple, which I have done many times, you will see that most of the key doctrines in the temple are actually taught by a guy dressed up as Lucifer. And there's so much Luciferian stuff involved in the temple that it's really kind of scary. You look at the Salt Lake Temple and some of the earlier temples, you'll see they're covered with pentagrams. They're covered with all-seeing eyes. We did this one DVD called Mormonism's Temple of Doom 2011 edition, which we have on our website. And we have pictures there of all of this creepy stuff, high-quality photos of inverted pentagrams. And I'm sure many of your viewers know the inverted pentagram is a symbol of Satan, upside-down five-pointed star. And this is not good. You know, this is the energy that's behind Mitt Romney. As nice as he appears, and I'm not saying he himself is like a devil worshiper or something. He may be, he may not be. That's between him and his God. All I know is I've been told by, because I have sources inside the high levels of the Mormon Church, and I've been told that he's very much plugged into the Illuminati, to the Bilderbergers, to all of these, you know, high level, you know, conspiracy types. And I don't know what would happen if he became president. I mean, I can't tell anybody how to vote or not vote, but I just think we need to really be on our knees praying and fasting for our country during this critical time, because we're in trouble like we've really never been in trouble probably since the days of the Civil War.
Exactly. And now, you know, a lot of people out there say, oh, we got to vote for the lesser of two evils. But they don't understand. I mean, I have friends and family that didn't even know people like Gary Johnson and other candidates are actually on the ballot, because what the mainstream media does during their debates is only Romney and Obama. And Romney and Obama, I don't think there's any difference between the two. I mean, these people are warmongers. They support unconstitutional laws like NDA 2012, the Patriot Act, HR 647, and so on, and war with Iran. And what do you see coming out of this election here?
Well, of course, I don't claim to be a prophet, but, you know, I'm not sure. You know, some people have said, well, you know, there's going to be some kind of a, maybe Israel will bomb, you know, Iran right before the election, or maybe some big financial thing will happen before the election, you know, to kind of bump Obama up in the polls. Because, you know, usually if there's a crisis, people go with the incumbent. The October surprise thing, I don't really know. I mean, to me, I just offer this up to Yahuwah, to the, you know, the head of the universe, and say, you've got to straighten this country out. Obama can't do it. Romney can't do it. Only going back to the Bible can do it.
Exactly. And we're in big trouble. And we found out a week ago that Romney's family, his son Tag and his brother Scott, purchased, I forget the name of the company that makes the voting machines. They purchased all the, you know, the voting machine companies, and having a big problem up in Ohio, I guess. Under court order, they're supposed to have early voting, but they're not actually doing it because, and they're claiming that in Democratic areas, the voting machines ain't working. Huh. You know what I mean? It's just a bunch of scandal going on, but you can see equally on both sides how they're trying to throw this election.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the trouble. At the highest levels, this government is run by the Illuminati. I mean, I think your listeners probably understand that, because when I was in this organization years and years ago, I was told that when a new guy is elected president, you know, whether it's Obama or whoever, that he walks into the Oval Office for the first time and there's a guy standing there who's one of the nine unknown men. And he basically sits him down and says, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And if you don't do this, look what we did to Nixon. Look what we did to Kennedy. We can do it to you, too. And so, you know, it's like it really doesn't matter, because there's a puppet master behind the scenes that is running the show, whoever happens to have the title of president.
Exactly. And a lot of people out there are already aware that, you know, the presidents are puppets. But, you know, like you said, where they get their marching orders from is the hierarchy of the world's elite, which is the Illuminati. And
And lastly, do you want to explain basically how the Illuminati, how they're funded and how they actually affect all the countries, like the presidents, the kings, the queens, and so on?
Well, of course, it's traditional that in every, you know, generation, if you will, of the Illuminati, there's a Rothschild involved, and of course the huge banking dynasties, all of those banking concerns starting with the Rothschilds, they've been creating money out of thin air, like, as long as, at least since the days of the Federal Reserve being started. They just, you know, make funny money all the time. And they fund it that way. They fund it through drugs. They fund it through war machines. They, you know, that's why every time there's a war, I mean, guess who's making all the profits? You know, it doesn't matter what countries are fighting. The profits are being made by the Illuminati. And it's drugs. But ultimately, you know, these people feed on power. That's the thing people need to understand. And when you join an organization like the Freemasons or the Mormon Church or any other false religious system, Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever, you're funneling spiritual power, occult power, if you will, the power of your own soul, your nefesh in Hebrew, into the devil's battery, if you will. And that's why we, you know, and of course, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you also have blood sacrifices are used to raise power. All kinds of things are done. But people need to realize that if they aren't in the army of Yahuwah, they're, without knowing it, in the army of Satan and in the army of Illuminati, except maybe they're just down at the bottom and they're cannon fodder. That's what Freemasons are. The typical Freemason is just cannon fodder for the devil. That's all they are. And they don't even know it, most of them.
Exactly. And you also want to explain, basically, in the early part of this country, how, you know, George Washington, in his farewell address, warned us don't get involved with political parties, and how basically the Freemasons and the Illuminati created the Republican Democratic Party to divide people to the right and the left, which also ties into occultism. Now, in the cult, you ever see that movie Pan's Haunted Labyrinth? Now, the kids had a choice. You take the red door, which was the red, you know, the right door, and the left door was blue. And this relates into politics. You got the red, you know, represents the right side, and the blue is the left side, and this is the occult as well. Do you want to give your take on basically how the Freemasons planted the Democratic and Republican Party here in the United States?
Well, yeah, because that's kind of Masonic doctrine. If you look at the Masonic temple, they talk about how you have this black and white checkered pavement on the floor of the temple. And that represents this dichotomy, this false dichotomy, like you say, between left and right, between, you know, Zionism versus fascism, between, you know, capitalism and communism. That's how they work, or between left and right, between Democrat and Republican. All of these different things, they're all just a shadow play. And the reality of it is that both sides are being run by the same guy. But of course, the word devil comes from the Greek word diabolos. And diabolos means to divide. That's the root of that word. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to divide us. And of course, we've seen our country right now become more divided than it ever has been, again, probably since the Civil War, between, you know, the rich and the poor, between the conservatives and the liberals or whatever. And that's what the devil wants, because he knows, you know, the cliche, divided we fall, united we stand. And we need to get together under Yahuwah, under the supreme, you know, deity of the universe, and join under him and under the Bible. Because if we don't get this nation back on biblical track, it's, you know, it's going to be toast.
And it is. And, I mean, look at Mitt Romney now. I think what he did was, Paul Ryan, I think he's supposed to be a Catholic, whatever. But you notice how they always bring in a vice president that appeals to the public. Like, they wanted a woman in the White House. So, 4 years ago, John McCain brought in Sarah Palin. You know, they didn't win, whatever, but appeal to the American citizens. And he's doing the same thing because he knows, you know, the Christian movement's big and the truth movement's big. So he's hijacking this by bringing in a young Paul Ryan that claims to be of God and all that, just to, go after the true conservatives and say, hey, you need to vote for me because we're going to turn this country around.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I mean, you see that a lot. And of course, that's just politics. And I'm not knocking Paul Ryan. For all I know, he might be a very, you know, godly individual. But, you know, I do know, of course, if he's a Catholic, there's some spiritual issues there, which, you know, is another discussion. But, even though I was born and raised Catholic, there's a lot of spiritual bondage in that religion nowadays. And perhaps that's something we can talk about another time with the Jesuits and all that. But, you know, it is something where they're just deceiving us. They're giving us, you know, really false hope. And instead of putting our hope in our Democrats and Republicans, we should be putting our hope in Yeshua and in his gospel and in his truth.
Exactly. And just say Paul Ryan was legit. He was constitutional. He was a good guy, whatever. But people don't understand, you know, which are trying to soak everybody's vote. But they don't understand Paul Ryan has no say what goes on. It's Romney and the puppet masters that have a say. They just bring in vice presidents just to, you know, appeal to the public to, you know, just to grab their votes.
Absolutely. It's like I said, it's a shadow play. And all we can do is pray that the light of heaven would shine and drive out the shadows. Because that's what it's going to take. You know, and that's why I'm saying we need to pray for, we've had some great revivals in this nation, starting with the Great Awakening, you know, over 200 years ago. And we can have great revivals again, but we need, you know, believers to be on their knees fasting and praying for this nation like never before.
Exactly, Bill. And, you know, I mean, we've got two evil demons. I don't think ever through the history of our presidency elections have we had two monstrous demons going head to head for the title of presidency. I mean, these people are evil. I mean, like, you got Obama, so-called, fulfilling the Muslim prophecy. Now you have Mitt Romney, supposedly fulfilling the Mormon prophecy. I mean, you're seeing end-time stuff here. And
yes.
In your final take on, you know, just both of these guys.
Well, the fact of the matter is that Islam and Mormonism are two sides of the same coin. They both come from the same source, which is Satan. And, you know, they, if you look at how both religions started, they both started with an angel appearing to somebody and giving them a fake scripture, whether it's the Quran in the case of Islam or whether it's the Book of Mormon in the case of Mormonism. And it's the same thing. They're just two sides of the same coin. You know, one wants to create a socialist utopia with Islam rising. The other one wants to create a theocratic Mormon kingdom. And, you know, either way, you're in trouble. So we need to pray for the Almighty to give us a third alternative, which is his reign.
Exactly. And we see the end times coming for sure. But, Bill, once again, I want to thank you for your time. And you got 30 seconds in closing here. If you want to promote your website once again.
Absolutely, yeah. Please check out our website. We've got a lot of materials on this topic. It's withoneaccord.org, withoneaccord.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, and God bless you, sir.
You too.
And that was William Schnoble from withoneaccord.org. You know, great books. I mean, I've been a fan for this guy for many years. He's got great documentaries on YouTube as well, exposing the Illuminati from within, and other documentaries you can see from the Prophecy Club and so on, because he goes all over the country and does seminars. But, folks, that will conclude our October 30th, 2012 edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. And don't forget, folks, InfoWarsShop.com, and purchase Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Fritz Springmeier. Great book. I mean, if you want to know about the bloodlines and everything else of the Illuminati. And once again, you get stickers, and you know, these cool stickers for your car, and a nice pocket Constitution Citizen's Handbook. And, folks, once again, thank you for tuning into the special Halloween edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. Please fund us, folks. We need you basically to join InfoWars.com's PrisonPlanet.tv subscription. And you get 5 extra passwords, folks, you can give to your friends. So it's 6 accounts into one. $5.95 a month, folks. That's all. And it funds the operation as you see here. And once again, this is Dan Padandi for the InfoWars Nightly News.